the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. And I'd like to read the first 8 verses of Acts chapter 8. The context is the death of Stephen at the hands of the Jewish Sanhedrin. We find that at the end of chapter 7. Of course, Stephen has just preached before the Sanhedrin and defended himself and angered the Sanhedrin just a tad. And they dragged him outside the city and stoned him to death. And so that's the context in which we are reading. Acts 8, beginning at verse 1. Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death. And on that day a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and they were scattered, all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Some devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentation over him. But Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house, and dragging off men and women, he would put them in prison. Therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them. The crowds, with one accord, were giving attention to what was said by Philip as they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. For in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them, shouting with a loud voice, and many who had been paralyzed and lame were healed. So there was much rejoicing in that city. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that you are busy about the work of building your kingdom. And we thank you, Father, that you have been pleased to call us to participate in that work of kingdom building. And we pray, Father, that as we look into this particular portion of Scripture and see how Philip was utilized, we might be instructed as to how we are being utilized in this day in your church. So be pleased to give us your grace, give us light and wisdom, we pray, in the good and gracious name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. If and when you are called to the gospel ministry and you go out to a particular congregation, or if you take up a particular work in a local congregation, you must remember that you will be building on the shoulders of others who have gone before you. I think it doesn't matter what situation you might find yourself in. You will be building on the work of others. You would not have a church to go to. You would not have a ministry to participate in were it not for the sweat and the blood and the tears of many others who have gone before you. And so you must be mindful of this fact. And I would say, not go in to try and change things right away, to make the church in your own image. Rather, you must be cognizant of the fact that you're rather like a replacement part. You're going in to replace others who have gone before you, and just as a replacement part for the engine in an automobile must fit in and work properly so that the engine and the car can work properly, so it is when you enter a new ministry position, you must fit in to that ministry position as a replacement. And is it too hard to just call each of us replacement parts. but in essence, I think that's what's taking place. And praise be to God, you see, part of the reason you're here is to be trained and prepared to be replacements in the gospel work and the gospel kingdom, the advance of the gospel kingdom. And this is exactly, I think, what we see in Acts chapter 8, where Philip is raised up as a replacement for Stephen, who has gone before him, and he carries out this ministry. And so I say to you again, rejoice, because God is training you and preparing you as replacements for His work in gospel, in advancing the gospel. Let's see how this works out in our text. Look at verse 2 to begin. Some devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentations over him. It goes without saying, does it not, that when a congregation loses a pastor, there is a lot of lamentation, especially if the pastor has done good work and is suddenly taken from the midst of God's people. In the year 2000, James Montgomery Boyce died of cancer. And there was a lot of consternation, a lot of weeping, a lot of lamentation. But God raised up someone to come in to take his position at 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia. We recently lost in the Reformed Presbyterian Church a pastor by way of a heart attack in Washington, Iowa. It was quite sudden, quite a different church situation, a smaller church, but I'm sure that the congregation was lamenting the loss of their dear pastor. And so it is that pastors and church workers will move on and must be replaced. Well, let's look at the context here a little bit. Go to verse 1. I want to start in the middle of verse 1 because that's really where the story begins. And on that day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Great persecution came upon the church as a result of Stephen's martyrdom. And that's exactly what it was. Look up into chapter 7 just a little bit. Verse 55, but being full of the Holy Spirit, Stephen gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they, that is, those in the Jewish Sanhedrin, cried out with a loud voice and covered their ears and rushed at him with one impulse. And when they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him. And the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. Here was the martyrdom of Stephen. And when Stephen was stoned, it seems in God's providence that dominoes began to fall. Because we read in verse 1 again, on that day a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. Do you remember the words of Jesus Christ to the apostles in the beginning of the book of Acts? You shall be my witnesses. Where? In Jerusalem, first of all. And then in Judea and Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth. And you can see the dominoes now are beginning to fall in the providence of God. This martyrdom precipitates the scattering of the Christians in Jerusalem. And they go into Judea and Samaria. And then the little note, except the apostles. I wouldn't be too hard on the apostles. Some are a little hard on the apostles. Why didn't they go? I think maybe they knew something that the rest of us don't know and that the early church didn't know. They were holding their fire. They were consolidating that which was taking place in Jerusalem. And when the time came, you remember, they went out. When the gospel was planted in Samaria, they went out to consolidate those gains. And so they did their work as apostles. And so the persecution scattered the believers. And this martyrdom of Stephen emboldens Paul. Look at verse 3. But Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house and dragging off men and women. He would put them in prison. We can hardly conceive of such a thing. But Paul, you see, was already in agreement with Stephen being killed. Stephen, you see, was a blasphemer. Stephen, from the perspective of the Jews, was a heretic. And the penalty of the law for heretics was stoning. And so it was perfectly appropriate for the Sanhedrin to condemn Stephen and stone him to death. And this emboldened Paul. Let's get a little background on Paul here. Look back into chapter 6, if you would. Chapter 6 and verse 9, where it says, "But some men from what was called the synagogue of the freedmen, including both Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and some from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and argued with Stephen." See? When Stephen began to preach the gospel vigorously, there were those in these synagogues, and there may not have been just one synagogue, but there may have been three synagogues and maybe even five synagogues that are mentioned here. But zero in on the idea of some from Cilicia and Asia. Cilicia and Asia were provinces on the northern side of the Mediterranean Sea in the area of modern Turkey. And guess what? Tarsus was a city in Cilicia. And you remember who came from Tarsus? It was Saul. And it very well could be that Saul was in this synagogue of the Cilicians and Asians and had been arguing in the synagogue against Stephen. And so he knew what Stephen stood for. And he was very antagonistic toward the gospel. Look at verse 11 in chapter 6. "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And verse 14, "For we heard him say that this Nazarene Jesus will destroy this place and alter the customs which Moses handed down to us." Yes, Stephen was accused of blasphemy because he preached the finality of the work of Christ, that the temple and all of its ceremonies pointed to none other than Jesus Christ, that Moses pointed to Jesus Christ, and that since Christ had come on the scene, his sacrifice was the sacrifice of all sacrifices. And therefore, the temple and the ceremonial law went by the board. Well, you can imagine the Jews hanging tenaciously to The temple and the ceremonial law were outraged at such a prospect. And going back then to Acts chapter 8, Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house and dragging off men and women. He would put them into prison. Can you imagine someone like Saul coming to your door? Knock, 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 knock. Do you have any Bibles? Do you go to church? Are you a Reformed Presbyterian? Oh, that's really bad. Shackles off to prison with you. This happens in some countries. And verse 4. Therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. And so, because of the persecution, whoosh, out they go, fleeing from Jerusalem, out into Judea and into Samaria to preach Christ, to spread the gospel message. And of course, this is in God's providence, is it not, that this takes place? And so, the persecution comes at the hand of God to spread the gospel. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church, as Tertullian said. And so it is today. I wonder, what is in store for the church of Jesus Christ today? We are to be tolerant of Islam. Is Islam going to be tolerant of Christians? Doubtful. Islam is not tolerant of Christians in Saudi Arabia. Years ago, I had, through my evangelistic ministry, I had contacts with people in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. And they said, be very careful how you send materials to us, because we are meeting underground. It is not legal for us to meet as Christians. It is not legal for us to receive materials from Christian organizations. And my secretary one day made a strategic error. She put the mailing label from my ministry on material that we were sending to Saudi Arabia, and it was apprehended by the officials there. What will happen with the rise of Islam? It does not bode well for the church. But again, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And so this preaching proceeded. And then what do we see? Philip, another deacon, is a replacement for Stephen. Verses 5 and following. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them. Those Samaritans. The crowds with one accord were giving attention to what was said by Philip, and they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. For in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them, shouting with a loud voice, and many who had been paralyzed and lame were healed. Philip preaches Christ. Knowing what had happened to Stephen, knowing that he could face the same fate, and yet he goes forth, this other deacon, to preach Christ. There's a little philosophy of ministry issue here too, isn't there? That the proclamation of the word is not reserved for those who are ordained ministers of the word.
Calvin talks about this in his expositions of the book of Acts. That is, it is the responsibility of all Christians to testify to Christ and to proclaim Christ. And so now we hear these deacons going forth as ministers, as evangelists, proclaiming Christ. And the ministry of Philip is quite similar to the ministry of Stephen. Back in chapter 6 and verse 8, it says, "And Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people." And so Philip, now, Stephen's replacement. How good God is. He is busy about advancing His work. And is it not the case that you are here preparing yourselves to be replacements in the kingdom work, which is spiritual warfare? Two or three years ago, a local pastor stood behind this pulpit and he talked about spiritual warfare. And he said his son was on his way to Iraq to fill a slot vacated by someone else. And so he went to visit his son. And he said when he stayed in his son's home with his daughter-in-law and their children, it was very plain that his son was ready to go to Iraq. All of his army gear was laid out on the landing of the second floor. And he said when he looked at that equipment, his eyes focused on his son's combat boots and his blood type printed in bold with bold marker on those combat boots. And he said when he saw that, he realized, my son is going to war. Well, folks, like it or not, we too are going to war. It's a different kind of war. It's a spiritual war. And you, praise God, are being prepared as replacements for others in this spiritual war and advancement of God's kingdom. Look at verse 8. "So there was much rejoicing in that city." I say to you, rejoice, because God is preparing you as replacements in this spiritual war. Pastors will leave vacancies in churches. They will die, as we all do. Some will retire. Some will accept calls to another congregation, and there will be a vacancy. Others might be disciplined because of sin and leave a vacancy. Who is going to fill those vacancies? You are. That's why you're here. Praise God. Praise God. He is preparing you as replacements in this spiritual struggle and advance
of His kingdom. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your grace. Thank You for the work to which You have been pleased to call us. Thank You for these men and women. I pray that You'll be pleased to work in their hearts, prepare them for the work which is, yes, ahead of them. And we ask, Father, that as this is the case, Your kingdom will continue to be advanced. Bless us to this end, we pray, in the good and gracious name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.